Phil Vitale is the restaurant critic for the Chicago Tribune. Nice to see you, Phil. Thanks for coming in again. He's been joining us on Wednesdays, this week on Thursdays, often about this time. His latest review is of the Heritage Restaurant and Caviar Bar. Talk about a bad, an odd fit. Heritage Restaurant and Caviar Bar. There's a caviar bar?
Yes. There's a physical caviar bar, but of course, if you're just sitting at one of the tables, you can get full-on caviar service anyway.
Can you just get like a steak frites or a pasta dish as well?
Yes, you can.
And what is the menu at Heritage?
The menu, as the name sort of suggests, it's old school kind of food, but with a very strong emphasis on Eastern European food. So there is Czech style roasted duck, and there is pelmeni dumplings, and things like that.
And they have stroganoff.
They do, and it's really really good.
I love stroganoff.
My wife's. My wife had an Alsatian grandmother, and she made that kind of stuff because while she was Alsatian by birth, she lived up in what is now, I guess, would be Croatia, and it wasn't then. And that's her style of cooking, and that was Sunday supper when I went over there.
Violetta, does your family serve at their restaurant stroganoff? Do they have that on the menu up there?
No, we have goulash. Short rib goulash, schnitzel, stuffed cabbage.
At Bucharest?
Yeah.
So back to Heritage. So it's that kind of a menu. Well, then I guess a caviar bar would be somewhat fitting with the room.
Right, the Russian overtones.
Yeah, but, right.
The cool thing is they have caviar from more than a dozen different fish. So you can go even from like little like domestic stuff, like paddlefish that you might get in Kentucky or something like that.
Oh, I thought it was only the roe or the eggs from
what sturgeons.
Sturgeon, yeah.
That's the fancy stuff. That's what you pay through the nose for. But you can, I mean, if you go to a Japanese restaurant, those little orangey red things on top, that's tobiko. That's fish roe. Uh-huh. And in the Greek restaurant, you'll have a, they'll mix it up and call it taramasalata. And that's a fish, that's snapper fish roe that's done as a spread. So there's lots of different fishy eggs out there.
And then how do you eat this? On crackers or how do they serve it?
They serve it with some crackers. Also, they have their own black bread they make on the premises, which is wonderful. And all the kind of accompaniments you would like. They also make their own in-house potato chips, which are nice to spread caviar on if you want that real double salt. Bang.
Do you like caviar generally? Are you a caviar guy?
No, I have it every now and then as a treat. It's usually really expensive and it's
salty.
Not always my yes. Well, it is salty.
Sure. And what did you think of this stuff?
Really good quality. Beautifully prepared. I mean, beautifully presented, and they take care of it, and it's just fun. And the thing is, a la carte, you can get it for as little as just a few, 15 grams of something for as little as $10, or you can go all the way up to $145. But that's your sturgeon caviar. That's your etcetera. That's with all the accompaniments, all the creme fraiches and the eggs and the capers and the onions and the breads and the pickles and the potato chips.
That does sound like kind of fun the way you're telling it, though. Like we would go there and I can imagine myself having some vodka and trying some of that and then maybe having a meal as well.
Absolutely. It's great shared. I would have a hard time sitting down to a caviar plate myself.
Yeah. Good.
But one of the other things is because they have all these different caviars out there, you could sit there and say, you know, I'd really like the looks of those scallops on the main course. How about I put about 10 grams of caviar on top of that? And they'll do that for you.
This is at Heritage. Where is it located?
It's in Humboldt Park. It's 2700 West Chicago Avenue.
So a Humboldt Park caviar bar.
Yeah. Yeah. Of all places.
Yeah.
But that stretch of Chicago Avenue is just booming. I mean, you just have split rail just a couple of blocks down from east of that, and good rents and population is kind of surging, I think, and restaurants
good place
are
to be, huh?
Yeah.
It's 146 on WGN. Phil Vitale, restaurant critic, Chicago Tribune in our studio. I asked you also off the air, I have to pause here. Maybe you could just share with us on the air. If I have friends coming into town or maybe we just wanted to do Chicago, is there a cocktail or a bar you like with maybe some holiday theme to it? Or maybe just what's a good, safe, smart go-to place in the city for folks that are visiting or traveling? Also, Mario Batali has joined the club, and I wondered what your thought about that story was in a minute. Phil Vitale, restaurant critic, Chicago Tribune's in our studio. He has done the tea box. What do you call that?
I just read about it. I haven't done the tea box.
Yeah. We were asking you about what are some good bars, restaurants, for, I don't know, some holiday fare? What comes to mind when I throw that out there?
What comes to mind is funny, is Butch McGuire's, and I'm, you know, kind of out of that demographic as well. But you know, we can go to Butch McGuire's at lunch, and it's just fun to see all that like Christmas decoration upon Christmas decoration. There's just all these little tchotchkes hanging off the ceilings, and that's always a little fun. And then up the northwest side is a place called Marie's Pizza, and it's right next to it. It's an old-timey kind of bar. You'd call it a dive bar, except it's way too clean and pretty.
Yeah.
But it's just a neighborhood bar. But for Christmas, they go out of their minds. I mean, there's not a square inch left unmolested as they just put all these glittery and shiny and reindeery and Santa-y things everywhere.
It's almost like Asian New Year in there.
Oh,
it's
really?
Like glittery, and I don't know what I picture what it'd be like in China for New Year's.
Well, you know what I would do? Because I haven't taken a picture yet for my Christmas card. That Violetta, sounds like, Phil, it sounds like a fun place to go.
Oh, absolutely.
I'll wear my wacky sweater and against some backdrop that I haven't seen yet. Go get my picture taken.
With that sweater, you might look like a disembodied head. You might blend in so well.
And it's BYOB, so it's attached to a liquor store.
I love the BYOB.
And you just go to the liquor store, get your wine, and
wait a minute, but it's a bar, right?
It's not BYOB anymore. Maurice is a full-service bar, and they will pour you a drink. They'll pour you several.
Because we went to Tango Sur, which I think is BYOB. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And boy, do you save a lot of money on that.
Yes, you do.
I mean, when the bill came, and there'd been a bunch of us, and we'd been having I've been saying a gay old time because for some reason I have the Flintstones theme song in my head today. Anyway, we're having a swell time. And then the bill comes, and it wasn't that high. And I go, oh, yeah, we paid for the wine. You know, we bought the wine at the liquor store.
Right.
And that is... You not only get the wine you absolutely want at the price you want, but it's just so much easier to dine out when they've got
and
that.
And you're
feature.
Not tipping on the price of the wine either. So
you don't have to, when you do that.
When you do that with a group, you find to your surprise that liquor is probably half the bill.
Do you tip on the pre or after tax price of a meal?
I tip after.
Yeah, I do too. But a friend of mine is very diligent. He looks to see what the price of the food and beverage was.
Mm-hmm.
He excludes the tax when he's calculating his 20 or 15%.
He is probably more correct. I'm not that sticky about that sort of thing. I just say, I take that 20% is real easy to figure out. Move the decimal point, that's 10. Multiply by 2, I'm out the door.
Yeah,
I don't want to do 15. Although if you do 20% on the pre-tax total or 15% on the post-tax total, you're tipping about the same.
Oh, because the tax isn't that much, in other words.
Right. In the heart of the city, the tax is, 10% now, 9%?
What did you make of the Mario Batali story?
It's really distressing. It's more than the people are finally coming through and are coming forward and complaining about this sort of behavior. But even that sort of behavior exists. I mean, some of it was just at this level of crudity. Like, what are you doing? What do you mean you're going to, at a party, you would grab someone and not by the shoulder?
Yeah.
And at what point in your life do you say, yes, I'm allowed to do that? And so a lot of this stuff just strikes me as just like, just power mad. Just, I can do it because I can get away with it. Therefore, I am going to do it.
Well, do you know, is the celebrity chef culture filled with guys like this?
I don't know, but it's sounding more and more like, yeah, it probably can be. Because if you're a chef, these days, a really high-end chef is probably like a rock star and probably has opportunities that are not available to normal people. And they're also... They have power. They can fire. They can hire.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Any industry, it seems, that is male-dominated and you can get rich doing politics, sports, entertainment, it leads to this kind of behavior.
Yeah.
Or attracts these kind of guys, or maybe they're everywhere and we're only hearing about it. But if it's happening in politics and sports, I would imagine it's happening in kitchens, too, across the country.
Well, the women are coming forward, are acknowledging, and even going way back to Anthony Bourdain's first book, *Kitchen Confidential*, that it's a pretty raunchy culture back in the kitchen. A lot of it, he explains, is just because it's high pressure and you're yelling all the time, and people don't have maybe the time to phrase things the nice way, you know. Could you get me that? No, they don't say that.
There's one thing to have coarse language. There's another thing to start touching people.
I know, and I don't get it.
I wonder what the fallout will be for his restaurants, for his store here, for his brand.
It might be significant. In a month, it might be lost among 15 new names that come out.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, as long as people have discretion on where they spend their money and someone gets them mad, then that someone is going to take a hit professionally because people will spend elsewhere.
By the way, we mentioned your review of Heritage Restaurant, which you said is in what neighborhood again?
Humboldt Park.
Humboldt Park. Anything else you want to just mention that you've been writing about lately before we go?
Combining with the other question, Gibson's Italia, the new Gibson's that's over at Wolf Point, and that has the most spectacular view looking east along the Chicago River, right where the north and south branches merge and the river starts going east. And you sit in that dining room, and it's just, I mean, it's like most other Gibson's. They've thrown a few more pastas in there to make it sound a little more Italian, but you know what? It's a Gibson's. But it is so spectacular.
And for the view.
And the cocktail bar there. So I was there, but not in time to see what their Christmas decorations are. So I don't know if it looks Christmassy. Knowing Gibson's, it probably looks a little, and it's probably very tasteful.
Yeah, right.
And then you've got that view, and oh my goodness.
Well, that's a lit view, isn't it? And then the bar you mentioned was the one that's completely loaded with decorations.
Well, that's Butch McGuire's. Virginia Street.
And then you also mentioned...
The Marie's Pizza and Packaged Liquors and Bar and you name it.
Phil, thanks for coming in. You can read him in the paper. You can read him online. Phil Vitale at the Chicago Tribune. Thanks for saying hi.
My pleasure.